We're looking at the concept of the children of God. Today we're looking at yielding to the power of God. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would guide us today. The principles that we will be looking at today, we need, Heavenly Father. There is this concept of relationship without which we fail at life. The misery and the pain, the confusion, the discouragements, the frustrations fill our hearts and our lives, and we don't know why. We find ourselves struggling in our relationships with one another because of that lack of relationship with you. And we find ourselves empty so many times and emotionally drained because we don't know that truth, that principle that helps us to build that relationship with you. We just pray that you would anoint us this morning to hear these truths, to come to the realization of what it's going to take to be victorious in Christ Jesus. We pray that you would raise us up, that you would fill our hearts and our lives with the truth of your word that sets us free from the beggarly elements of this world and sets us on a place of power and strength and anointing and victory that helps us in our relationships with one another, that helps our marriages, helps our families, helps our job relationships, helps our social relationships. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you would speak to our hearts and make it true to us that these principles work, that they change us, that they empower us, and they make us radiant examples of children of God. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Now, we looked at last week the basic problem that two men had, Solomon and Samson, where God just infused them with his power. And there is an example in their lives of the difference between a person who has the power of God that is under their own control and auspices as people who are dependent upon the power of God, who are yielding to that power. And what we're looking at this morning is power without relationship, and then build into that power without relationship and go into the avenue that takes us into power with the relationship with God. And so first let us look again real quickly at Solomon, a man who had everything except. A man who has everything except. Ecclesiastes 1:2, we have him saying, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. This is from Solomon's own mouth. This is his heart. This is from what he feels, what he's going through as he builds this power and as he moves into this tremendous wisdom without relationship with God. Ecclesiastes 1:8, Solomon says again, all things are wearisome, more than anyone can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. Ecclesiastes 1:9, what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Now, this is not representative of truth. This is representative of life as Solomon sees it. Ecclesiastes, which was written by Solomon, reveals the results of a person who tries all the world has to offer. It reveals the conclusion of a person who has all this earth can supply. And it reveals the philosophy of a person who understands all the wisdom of humankind, but fails to maintain a relationship with God. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to learn from other people's mistakes rather than learning from my own. Don't you? I would much rather let them make the mistake and me learn from it than me have to learn on my own, by myself, by the trial and error process of my own life. And so what we're being asked to do here in the Word of God through Ecclesiastes, we're being asked to bring ourselves into an understanding that all of the things that Solomon tried without a relationship with God brought him to vanity and meaninglessness. Now, what we're going to do here is we're going to transition from power without relationship, and we're going to bridge into power with relationship by the process of salvation. Salvation brings us into an intimate relationship with God. It bridges the gap to where that all of those things that we have as personal skills, all of those things that we have as abilities, trained abilities, all of those things that we are able to do through talents, and it bridges the gap between all of those things that God gives us, that He implants in our lives, whether they be born in a family with lots of money, whether we're born with a high IQ, whether we are born with great opportunities, or just quite simply born in some place besides a third world country where they're suffering, where you have all kinds of opportunities to become what you want to be by just by the nature of the society around you, regardless of what it is. To bridge that gap and to come into what God has to offer in Romans 1:16, where it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes. Amen. Amen. That is exciting because it's at that point where we move into a relationship with God through that power of salvation. And we find ourselves getting the answers to life. This is the beginning moment in every person's life where all of a sudden things start to make sense. For the first time in our lives, we really start to see the world around us, and it begins to make some kind of sense, because up until that point, we're going to live, we're going to die, we're going to cease to exist. And just about the time you've got your education, just about the time you've got it made, just about the time you have reached that place where you can really start to live your life, you're too old. Just about the time when you've got all your retirement in place, just about the time when you got your kids trained in, just about the time when you got your education, the place where you need it to be, you realize that life is just a vapor coming out of the teapot. Just a vapor, and then all of a sudden it just dissipates and is gone. A man studied all of his life, had 2 Doctor of Philosophy degrees, was going to go in and become a head teacher at this university, and was walking down the steps, tripped and fell, broke his neck, and died. Just about, almost, now I'm ready. And then, it's vanity, vanity, and vexation of spirit until we're born again. And then we begin to realize that this is the training life for eternity. That this is not the end. That salvation brings us in as children of God. That we join the family of God. That we join the eternal God. We will live forever and ever with Him. And from that point on, we begin to say, along with Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the good news or the gospel, because it's the power of God to raise us to a newness of life. That is able to raise us to meaning and to purpose, to godliness and to the reason for why we exist. And all of a sudden, we have power with relationship. John 3:7 describes this salvation experience as being born again. John 1:13 describes it as being born of God. John 3:8 describes it as born of the Spirit. John 1:12-13 says, yet to all who receive Him, to those who believed in His name, to those who put their trust in Him, who put their trust in His name, to those who receive Him as their Lord and Savior, He gave the right or power to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent. That's how we got here. We were born of natural descent. Nor of human decision. That's how we got here. Nor of a husband's will. That's how we got here. But born of God. Born again of God. But this time born in the Spirit. This time born for a whole new way of life. Now we have power through the relationship of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 13 and 14 says, "For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die." That whole process of life where we say those things we know we shouldn't say. We do those things we know we shouldn't do. We treat people the way we know we shouldn't treat them. We say things behind their backs that we know we shouldn't say about them. And we continue to head in a direction of living by the sinful nature. And our life starts to fall apart. Why? Because we say things that hurt people's feelings. Because we do things that people don't like. Because we are of a certain type of personality that people reject. So our entire life constantly is running cross-grain with the people around us to where that we fail to be as successful in business as we could be if we didn't do those things, say those things, act those ways that we are. What breaks up marriage? What breaks up the family? What breaks up companies? What breaks up churches? What breaks up life? What causes people to find themselves in depression and discouragement? It's having a life of the sinful nature. To where that the people around you don't enjoy the way you treat them. But, and I've got in capital letters, by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body. You will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. These four capitalized words, by the Spirit you. These four capitalized words are the four words that describe the principle, the system of salvation of the Christian life. These four words that you're looking at right now are the four words that will transform your life into success in this life and in the world to come. It's a relationship. It's a relationship that we have to understand. It's one that very frequently Christians do not understand. These four words describe for us a relationship of utilizing, taking advantage of the power of the Spirit and realizing that He won't do it without us and we can't do it without Him. These are the four words just that you could be reading through your Bible and you could pass by and not even notice that would set your life on a course of total success in every avenue of life. How many times have I read through this passage and just went right on by and read the next verse and missed the fact that I cannot do it without Him and He won't do it without me. By the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body. We cannot just pray and pray and pray and pray and say, God, take control over my actions. God, help me to treat my spouse better. God, help me to be a nicer person on the job. God, help my attitudes to change toward people. We can't just pray, 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 pray and not realize that when we pray, He empowers us. And when He empowers us, then we, by the Spirit, take care of the misdeeds of our body. It's a principle. It's a godly principle. It's a biblical principle that God will not ignore. But if we put to death the misdeeds of the body, we will live. We will not just live a normal life. We will live the life of a child of God. Now here's the problem. Romans 7:23. Here's a Christian. They've accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They are now starting to try to live the Christian life. But they don't understand that by the Spirit, they have to put to death the misdeeds of the body. And so they see another law at work in the members of their body, waging war against the law of their mind and making them a prisoner of the law of sin at work within their members. There's a struggle, a battle that goes on. And we can resist the devil. We can fight against him. We can take on and plead the blood. We can do all kinds of various spiritual rituals. But if we don't recognize that, Satan is coming in. The world's enticements are coming in. Those frustrations that cause us to say things where we say, "You made me mad," where we blame everything and everyone around us. That battle is coming into our life. The door that is open that's letting the bugs in is the door of our body. Our body has a distinct desire that it got the moment that that fruit was eaten at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The moment Eve took that bite, from that moment on, a door opened into her spirit from her body. And the moment she handed that fruit over to Adam and he bit into that fruit and started to swallow, was the moment he knew he was naked, was the moment his body communicated with him. And from that point on, there was a battle. And that is described in Romans 7:23. I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind. That is where salvation came into you. Salvation came into your mind. And from that moment on in your mind, you delighted in the things of God. But from that moment on, you and your body were no longer friends. From that moment on, you wanted to go one way and your body wanted to go another. And the sad thing is that waging of war against the law of my mind makes you a prisoner to the law of sin at work within your members. You find yourself saying things that you've got your hands wrapped around your lips, and yet you say it anyway. Where you say to yourself, "I am not going to get mad. I am not going to get mad. I am not going to do that," and you do it. And you say, "Good grief, what's going on?" And this is exactly what the Bible says. I don't understand myself. This is Romans chapter 7. I don't understand myself. Those good things that I want to do, I don't do. Those bad things I want to stop doing, I do. And the child of God does not have the marriage, the job relationship, the success in school, the popularity of relationships that they could have. Because their body is making them a prisoner. Now, I used to read this all the time, and I always thought that that was going to be something that I got in Romans 8:11, that I was going to get that when Jesus raised me from the dead and I went up to meet him in a cloud of glory. I always read it, and that's exactly what it means, but it means more than that. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. Okay, that if stipulation, if this is true, then this is true. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. Well, that happens when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When you become born again, when you become born of the Spirit, you get the Holy Spirit inside of you. So, you can take the word if out. Since the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in me. That's true of you. Because you're a Christian. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Two things. One's talking about the resurrection and rapture. For those who are alive, still alive when Jesus comes, rapture. For those who are dead, when Jesus comes, resurrection, and are caught up to meet him in the air. I'm talking about that. But it's also talking about something that I missed. Every time I passed through here, I missed that. And I kept reading Romans 8 because Romans 8 is moving out of the realm of living in the flesh trying to be a Christian, trying to do those things that are right, trying to say the right things. I knew that somehow that as I moved from Romans 7 into Romans 8, that there was an answer, that there was a transition into the Spirit. And as I began to read, finally one day I was buzzing through here, and the Holy Spirit said, "Yay, you, come back here." And set me back in front of Romans 8, 11 and said, "Read that again." And I read it again, and all of a sudden exploded in my mind the realization of the fact that my mortal body was given a life that I could take control over, and I would be able to take my body and be able to bring it under submission to the things of God by the Spirit. If by the Spirit I make this transition move into doing the things that the Bible tells me to do through His Spirit who lives in you. Praise God. Now I've got five things there. You, Spirit, tongue, body, life. And it says there the relationship power steps. Relationship power steps. The truth is that out of all of that, there's this one thing you need to concentrate on. James 1:26, if anyone considers himself religious, and that's not talking about religion like we typically talk about religion, that's talking about your relationship with God, considers himself godly, considers himself religious, and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue. He deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. So you see tongue right there in the middle of those five things. James 3:2 says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man. Well, nobody's perfect. Well, some of us are less than perfect than others. So it's not to say, well, nobody's perfect and just quit and say, well, hey, we can't reach perfection and just not try. There's something that we've got to do. It's true that we will never reach perfection in this life, but it isn't true that you can't get closer and closer to it. I went in to take my human anatomy and physiology test for my final exam, and in there, I had a test that had 100 questions on it. I answered 43 of those 100 questions right and got an A. It was the most frustrating test that I'd ever taken, and yet it was the most successful test that I'd ever taken because there were 100 opportunities for me to tell that professor everything that I knew about that subject. I mean, there wasn't one missing question. So that if I knew something, I could put it on there and get credit for it. Perfection is something we can't reach, but it is beyond human imagination how high we can go. It is incredible the opportunities of God that are available to us. You are never ever going to hit the top and say, okay, I have gone beyond anything I can do. I've reached the heights. I have gone to the top. I have done everything I can become. Because in God, there's always that high, high position of perfection. And we press on to the high call of God. Amen? And so we don't get discouraged because it's talking about a perfect man. But what we want to hear here is how we want to read this passage of Scripture and not get all bent out of shape about nobody's perfect. We want to listen to what it has to say here. It's saying that if we are not at fault in something, just any of those things that we say, if there's five things out of 20 things that we say that we are in control of in God, that we will bring our body in check. Does that make sense? If we control our mouth to that degree that we control our mouth will be to the degree our body changes. Is that good news or what? We all know when we say something we shouldn't, don't we? We all know when we say something about someone that we shouldn't. We all know when we say something to someone that we shouldn't. We know that which came out of our mouth or which is getting ready to come out of our mouth, we look at it, we think, whoa, that's not nice. We all know that. And it becomes the guide for the rest of our life. James 3:2, If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's the perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. So, see those five words? Those five words, the tongue is in the middle of it. And what we're going to do is we, you, and the Spirit is going to bring control over the tongue. And the tongue being controlled is going to bring check to the body. And when we do that, we're going to have life and have it more abundantly. Amen? Is that exciting or what? Now, Romans 8:13, let's look at it again. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you... Four words. Remember those four really important words. Don't lose those words for the rest of your life. By the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. What's it talking about? Me and the Holy Spirit are going to bring my mouth in control. And when I bring my mouth into control, I have the guarantee of James that it will bring my body under control and my actions will change. Now I've got a plan. Now I've got a procedure for living the victorious Christian life. Amen? Now I've got something out here where I can see it. There's something out here that I can notice and say, whoa, no, that was not the right sentence. That was not the right statement. That is not the way to talk to people. So then I go back to God because I've got to have the Spirit. I cannot say, boy, I've got to quit that. Boy, I've got to try harder. Boy, I've got to do better. I've got to get in control of this mouth because I don't have to and I can't. But by the Spirit, if I take advantage of the Holy Spirit and bring it under control by His power, then I've got a relationship with the Holy Spirit and it's a relationship of power. And that relationship of power is me going to God and consulting God and saying, God, my mouth got out of control. I said some things that I shouldn't have said, and now I'm in a quandary. I have messed up my life, my wife, my partner, my children, whoever are mad at me because of what I said and what I did, and we're not friends anymore. And so I bring it before Him and say, oh, God, help me with my mouth. And by the Spirit, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, by the answer to my prayers, by me incorporating and inviting the Holy Spirit into my situation, by allowing Him to come in, inviting Him to come in and join me and provide His power for me, all of a sudden, step by step, little by little, my mouth changes. And the Bible says in James that as that changes, it brings my body in check. As I put to death the misdeeds of the body, I start to live abundantly. Life to the full. Or as the King James says, life abundantly. We have us inviting the Holy Spirit through prayer to bring us to a place to where that our tongue says the right things. And when we do, our body changes and we start treating people wonderfully. And when we treat people wonderfully, we have life and life to the full. Amen? Five easy steps. You could put this in a magazine, couldn't you? Five easy steps to life abundantly. John 10:10, last part. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's what being a child of God is all about. Those five steps. Me saying, Holy Spirit, I need your help. Not me trying by myself through my efforts to be a Christian. Me appealing, praying, seeking God, asking, seeking, knocking on the door to the power of God saying, anoint me, empower me. God, I can feel it coming on. I'm getting really mad here. They're on my last nerve. And I'm getting ready to say something that I know I shouldn't say, that I will regret after I say it. And as we appeal to God, as we pray to Him, and the anointing power of the Holy Spirit comes on us, and our mouth is brought under control. Anger, frustration, gossip, backbiting, striving, seditions melt out of my heart and my life. And I treat people with love and care and compassion and healing. Because the Bible says that if the mouth is brought under control, the body is brought under control. And when the body is brought under control, my relationship with the people around me are going to be awesome. Amen? That's all I got. Would you stand? What I want to do today is I want to ask